You're listening to RTI.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen and everybody else. It's that second part of that show again, where we've all been and had cups of tea and done all those things that Uncle Eric wants us to do. And basically, what Rachel and I have been doing is coughing. We've been coughing to save you from doing it. Who coughed the much? Who coughed the most, Petra, in the first half?
You.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Did I win? How many?
That's not a win.
Is it?
Rachel won because she didn't cough.
No, that wasn't the point. It was to see who coughed the most. That was the way you had to get to.
No, because if you cough the most, you are a loser.
Oh,
well, right. It was a cacophony of coughing.
It was. And that's why Eric didn't come here, because he couldn't cough as well as us, right? Anyway, right. Are we going to carry on with this show? I'm going to tell the nice ladies and gentlemen what's been happening in the
world.
We're
waiting for you. You keep coughing, so just carry on.
Okay, right. I'm going to start this with the New Year and the New Year's Honours List. There's all sorts of people have been given honours by the Queen for the New Year. Actors, singers, performers, businessmen, all sorts. But one of the best ones, and I think this is really good, is that British inventor Trevor Bayliss has been made a CBE in the New Year's Honours List. And he is the man who created the Bagan wind-up radio. And it's not a joke, he actually did invent the Bagan wind-up radio. And it's actually changed the face of the world in desperate countries. It's changed the face of communication and everything else, and he's done very well. I know he's had a few problems. He's quite a good fan of this show. I know he's had a few problems in the past. Mm. But let's wish him all the good. He is now a CBE. Yeah!
Yay!
And
They're called different things. They're called different things here because we're a member of the Commonwealth, so we do get these things as well, but they're called something different.
Yeah.
And my my dad got a OAM, which is an Order of Australia medal,
really?
A couple of years ago. Yeah. For his services to music and education.
Brilliant.
Mm-hmm. So now he's got a string of letters after his name now. Notwithstanding, the OAM's pretty impressive, I've got to say.
Well, it sounds it. Yeah, so when I know he's involved in music, but what kind of thing was he doing? Why did he this medal for it?
Well, Dad, he's a string teacher, he's a violin teacher.
Yeah.
And he was based in the education department in South Australia for the longest time, and then they disbanded their music branch. So he went and taught privately, and what he's done is set up music programs in schools and, you know, set up proper music libraries and run music camps and done all sorts of stuff. So he was given this as an award for his services to education, music education.
Excellent. Tell your dad I need to learn to play the banjo, right? This is true. I've got a banjo that I've never been able to play and I need to know. So he could teach me to play the banjo.
No, he can't because he can teach you how to play the violin, but I don't think he's got many skills. He can play the guitar a little bit, although he doesn't profess to be any good at it. I think he probably is better than he thinks, but you know what? My dad knows everybody, so he could find you somebody to teach you the banjo.
If
you want to learn the violin, he's the best person to learn from.
I don't want to learn. I want to learn to play the violin, Rachel. I want to learn to play the banjo because I've got a banjo and I don't have a violin.
Well, there you go. I mean, we've come to a crossroads, well, really, now, haven't we?
What can you play, Petra?
Nothing.
God, I thought you did. I thought you were quite musical.
No.
Well, you have a certain lyricism in my heart, so there must be something.
Aww.
Yeah, that was nice, wasn't it, Rach?
Oh. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, really cool.
I know, it was Christmas. You're just trying to be nice to me. What did you get for Christmas?
Well, I was just going to ask you. I'll tell you a true story about Christmas, and this is the absolute truth, right? Mm-hmm. I am possibly the only man in the world who, when people come round and they ask you that stupid question, what would you like for Christmas? I just thought, I really need these, I really want some, and I don't have any. I said, socks. I told everybody, just buy me socks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many people bought me socks?
No. Nobody.
Nobody. Nobody, because I'd asked them to. They thought I was taking the mickey or something, but I got none. No socks at all. But what I did get, I got a crocodile bracelet.
Oh, that, does it bite?
No, don't bite. No, no. You have to eat water and then
stroke. Has it been declawed? Yeah,
no, it's a real one. It's a real crocodile that goes around my wrist. He sent me a little bit.
Did your daughter bring that for you?
Yeah, why? Have you got one?
No, I just thought, I know that you know, it's crocodiles sort of more so an Australian thing than anything else, and I know that your daughter was there over Christmas time, so I just put two and two together because I'm brilliant.
So what did you get for Christmas?
I got lots and lots of gift vouchers, which gift I really vouchers. Enjoy.
Oh. Mm.
Well, most of my family doesn't live here, so they mail me a gift, and it's really a lot cheaper just to send a voucher. But also, I went and had Christmas Day with my brother,
yeah.
And they bought me this beautiful necklace, which was all made out of wooden beads that are bright red, because I tend to wear a lot of black, and it really annoys my brother. He said, "You really need to get out of these funeral clothes that you're always wearing." So they bought me this beautiful bright, and when I don't wear black, I'm wearing red, and I don't wear much of anything else. And not to say I don't wear clothes, because I enjoy clothing, but they're either red or black. So he bought me these beautiful red beads, and I got, what else did I get? Oh, I got lots of stuff for my art that I'm doing at the moment, for the paintings that I'm painting at the moment, and it was small, but it was lovely.
That sounds lovely. What did you get, Petra?
I won't say, because we would be here forever.
I got loads and loads and loads.
Spoiled girl.
But I will turn the question around. Did you get anything you would like to return? That you really don't want it, and you just...
Yeah, we got the flu.
we had the family round.
That's not returnable. You can't return it.
Well, I'll tell you what I did get. This is going back a while. And it's one of those sort of childhood stories that changes your aspects on life. It changes the way you look at things. And when I was about seven... or maybe less, maybe about five or six, there was a thing that came out on the market which was brilliant, and it was called a duck shoot. And basically what it was a battery-operated machine that you put ping-pong balls with ducks' heads and wings on, and they spun around. It was like being in a fairground. And you had your little gun, like with like what them things call that go in bottles, corks, with a cork in it, and you had to shoot the ducks. Right?
Oh.
And that's what I wanted for Christmas, right? So on the Christmas morning, bear in mind that I was only like five or six, right? Mm. On Christmas morning, I got up, and at the bottom of my bed, right, this is the truth, there's not a word of a lie in this, there was a brush stave, three metal coat hangers.
No.
Yeah, and six ping pong balls, and my old pop gun.
That's mean.
Well, what I had to do then, and this is the truth, I'm not making it, and there is not a word of a lie in this, I had then to put the brush stave in the middle of the three coat hangers, which then became feet on it. I had to, oh, and there was a doorknob, I forgot the doorknob. And on the top of the pole, there was like a nail sticking out. I don't know how he managed to do it, but the nail was sticking out, and he had to put the doorknob on it, right, and then stick these half metal coat hangers in the sides, and then you'd put your little, like, ping pong balls on it, and what you had to do was spin it like that, run down the garden, get your gun, and then shoot. But the thing is, by the time you got your gun, it had all stopped.
Stop spinning.
So if I could have taken that back, I'd have taken that back. But no, as it was my dad who got it, I only had to take it across the room and say, thank you very much, Dad.
I remember, there was only one gift that I got that I really didn't appreciate, and that was from my ex-husband.
Ooh,
what? And he bought me, I really wanted a dustbuster.
A dustbuster?
I really wanted a dustbuster because I didn't like having to drag out the vacuum every time I needed to.
This is your fetish with vacuum cleaners, isn't it?
Yes, and yes. And then he said, I want a dustbuster for Christmas. And he's like, okay. And Christmas came around and I got something that sort of resembled a dustbuster, but it wasn't a proper Dustbuster. It was something, some cheap knockoff from the $2 store. And I operated it once and it broke. And I thought, you know what? I don't want that. So do you know what I returned?
What?
Him.
What? You know what I mean?
Yep.
I did a similar thing when I split up with my 1, 2, 3 wives ago. I was like a bit mortified, but
so
I was
Andrea
there.
Andrea is number 4.
She'd be number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. She'd be number 14.
Oh my god! I don't want
to. Are you proud of it?
You can't. Do you count them when you're married to them all at once? Like when there's five of them in the house.
Well, that's it, yeah. If you've got five, you're
big love.
One, so it might be 30.
Big love. Yeah. Big love.
But yeah, she. I forgot. Completely forgot what I'm talking about.
Returning gift after marriage or something.
Or yeah, returning wife.
Oh, that's right. Yes, that was it. I remember. So what I did, right? I thought, this is a new start in life. I've got a new start in life. And telly, even then, I'm going back 15 years, 20 years, even then, telly was absolutely despicable, was an absolute insult to your intelligence. So at the same time as she went out the door, I chucked the telly as well. Not at her, not after her. I just said, do I take your telly with you as well? Like that. And so I ended up with no wife and no telly. And I have to admit, within 3 days, I was going up the wall. I was absolutely going up the wall.
You missed the wife or you missed the TV?
Well, that was it.
It's the sound of the telly. It's the noise.
Exactly that. And it's the sound of the wife and the noise that makes you want to... Yeah, I missed the telly. I didn't get my wife back. I went on board a new telly.
You know what? Speaking of telly, I saw something pretty awesome on the telly today.
Yeah?
It was a commercial for unwanted gifts.
Yeah.
And you can sell your unwanted or you can donate your unwanted gifts to this brain cancer research center.
Yeah.
And they will sell your gift and the money that they make from it, they put it into brain cancer research. I thought, what a great idea.
That's a really good idea. Talking about cancer and not making light of the subject, what about, have you heard over in Australia or in Slovakia about this doctor? This British doctor who's actually said, we don't need to find a cure for cancer. It's the best way to die because all your family comes and visits you. That is an incredible statement for somebody in the medical profession.
Yeah, that's almost, that's reckless and negligent. His license should be taken away
for that. Well, I do, honestly. I can see what he's saying. That there are. Well, I can't. No, I was going to try and say that. No, I can't see anything at all to do with that. I think that's...
And there's nothing to be redeemed from that statement. That man's a lunatic. I wouldn't let him practice medicine on me. I wouldn't even let him pretend to practice medicine on me. It sounds like he needs more practice on his bedside manner, of all things.
And it's funny, it comes out of a report that says that actually, well, now, you know, everybody's believed for decades that if you smoke, you're likely to get lung cancer. If you drink, you're likely to get liver cancer. There's all sorts of things that could happen to you. But it's actually a new report, and this is where he came out and said it from, come out and saying that actually 2/3 of cancers can be put down directly to just an unhappy incident. It's not lifestyle that causes it. It's not what you do with yourself. It's not how you look after yourself. And
no.
I suppose that, in a way, from all the way we've been last year, we were all looking at the cures for cancer and getting really excited, and people were saying it's not that far away. Surely that is the absolute opposite, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I think one of the things that I find most hilarious in the universe is conspiracy theories. I just think they're awesomely funny. And there's a theory going around. I don't know how sketchy it might be, but it'll be interesting to get your opinion, that Big Pharma has got the cure for cancer.
Yeah.
But they're going to sell it to the highest bidder. Right. And you know, that really disturbs me. That disturbs me a lot. I don't want to think that people are controlling, you know, such a disease like that. It's just, the whole thing's really off colour.
That's what they say here, that there is a cure for cancer,
yeah.
But for pharmacy industry, it's not, well, how shall I put it? It's better for them to sell loads of medication rather than having this cure.
Yeah, so the cure is not profitable.
Yeah.
He's set over in Britain as well. I know he sees the story, and I think there's a lot of evidence which basically would support that as a point of view. You know that that it is there. There is a cure, but people say now no governments would play with people's lives like that.
You know what they would, I reckon.
Absolutely,
Everything's for sale, and money's the root of all evil. And, really, if you can make a profit out of keeping people sick, then you're probably going to do it.
Well, it's a strange thing because we have in Britain, which I don't know if it affects you in Slovakia or in Australia, but basically we have a postcode lottery for treatment for cancers and such virulent diseases. And based on your postcode, you will get a certain kind of treatment.
That's almost like conscription, isn't it?
it's just incredible. Yeah. And
that's terrible.
And people say, yeah, obviously, if there is a cure for cancer and it comes out, then like you said, the pharmaceutical companies, etc., will be losing money. But actually, it's interesting, isn't it, that if people were cured of cancer, if there was a cure for cancer, then that would take a lot of weight off hospitals and the NHS. And lo and behold, the pharmaceutical companies could start looking into curing something else.
Well, that's right. I mean, there's a massive drain on resources because it's a disease that, many people have. So you have to wonder what's the pro and the con about them keeping this cure if it happens to exist to themselves. There's going to be I have to also argue that there's so many new diseases popping up all the time that they can find something else to make all their money on, surely. Diabetes shouldn't exist anymore in this day and age. I mean, there's all sorts of things that they can make their money on. I really think it's, quite disgusting.
Well, surely, wouldn't it also be a good thing to get research into the thing that we're suffering at the moment, which
the
flu. Yeah, I'm sure everybody who's listening just thinks it's static when we keep going.
No, we're really not.
No,
well, actually, to be fair, I don't think I've got it. I think this is just my Achilles heel voice playing games, and the fact that the weather's kind of dodgy here at the moment. I've got to mention this really quickly I've got your attention. It's 2 a.m. in Melbourne and it's 31.1 degrees and it's a really dry part of the country and we have got, we had some fires going out west today.
Yeah.
And it's now blowing at 90 kilometres an hour out there and it's coming from the north, which is a firefighter's worst nightmare. So I've got to send a hoorah out to the guys who are fighting fires tonight and hope that this wind dies down because this just will make their lives so much harder. I expect that a good portion of the state is going to be on fire by the morning.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, yeah, I support everything you've said. Well done. is this like, could this turn into another sort of problem with forest fires that you had last year?
Yeah, it could. It's
really?
Just, as soon as you get a northerly wind and as soon as they are dealing with anything that a raging big wind like this, even little winds will carry a spark for miles and miles.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you get a northerly and everything's, and it hasn't rained much here, so everything's already pretty dry and it was 38 today, it's going to be 42 tomorrow. It's just the perfect storm for a massive, great big fire that can just sweep through so much country so quickly, and it's really dangerous. I just hope everybody's got their plans in place and they're not being heroes and trying to save their properties. You've got to get out of there.
Yeah.
And it's just really dangerous. And most of the firefighting force that exists here in Australia is a volunteer force. So it's guys who aren't getting paid any money running directly into the path of danger, and you have to take your hats off to them as well. But it's a terrible time of year. I haven't had to deal with this much in the last 5 years because I've been living up north where it doesn't get very dry, where it's always wet. So floods have been my problem for the last couple of years, and now I'm down here and it's bushfires, but the wind is howling out there.
It's like you're going from one extreme to another.
Yeah, but I mean, you know what? Australia's extreme in its weather all the time, and we know that we have to deal with stuff like this. It's just par for the course living in the country that we do. But this is I'm hearing that wind. I know it's coming from the north, so it's hot, hot, hot wind. And that can carry a spark for miles. And there's no relief in the weather late tomorrow night when we're apparently getting a cool change. I worry more when we have 4 or 5 days of this weather, and it can go on for weeks. But when we have lots and lots, but if there's a change coming tomorrow night, so hopefully that'll bring them some relief. But I'm really concerned about this wind now and what's going on out there.
It is incredible when you think, like, in Britain, basically all we do is get rain. That's all we get, really. And the amount of accidents and the motorways have been closed down in Britain over the Christmas period because it's been raining. It's just unbelievable. It's only rain, for God's sake.
Well, that's it. I don't know what it is, but here when it rains, because it happens so infrequently down here in the south, it's when it rains, everybody decides to get their car out and go for a drive. I don't understand.
Really? Let's get a car clean, isn't it?
Especially the old people. They love it. They get it's raining. Let's go for a drive. And it's like, Oh no, I really wish you wouldn't. So, yeah, hats off to the fireys tonight.
And it's
raging across the border into South Australia as well. South Australia had got up to about 46 degrees today. So they had several fires blazing up in the hills up there. And my dad lives up in the hills, so I hope that he's all right too.
Yeah.
Gosh, 46, if I think a couple of days ago, we had minus 17.
Oh my God. And you know where Rob is, up in the north of Western Australia, right up the top. They've got a cyclone barreling towards them as we speak. But I think it got up to 49 today. And he said, and that's not even the hot weather. And I said, oh God. And he's a surveyor. He's outside in it all day.
I know. I know. So I've seen the messages he's been putting out.
Yeah. It's really scary.
Talking about rain in Britain particularly, let's do some outrage at this story involving Lawton Baptist Church and the Reverend Wayne Dulson. I can't believe this, and I just wonder if anything like this would happen in Australia or Slovakia. The church has decided that this vicar can build a £1 million home for himself and his family on the graveyard of the church. And to enable this, they are at this moment digging up bodies that have lain in this consecrated ground since 1860. Can you believe that this is being allowed to happen?
That's disgusting. Who sanctioned it though? The higher ups in the Baptist Church.
Well, yeah, it would be the church that would ultimately have to allow him to do it. Even the Epping Forest Council's planning department have been very wary about it. But doesn't it beg the question more than anything that why does the Reverend Wayne Dulson believe that this will make him appear in the eyes of his flock as somebody special and somebody caring? I can't think of anything less caring than doing this, can you?
Well, and less holy than digging people up.
I think there's a lot of holes in that, isn't there?
Well, you know what? It's pretty much a sieve situation. But I think that when you it's a Christian ritual that's taken place to inter these people in the ground.
Yeah.
And because they have to have a minister or a pastor or whatever presiding over said, burial. But then to go and dig it up, it seems like it's gone. It's like undoing it.
I know. It's
to me. It's like takesies, backsies. Talk about returning gifts. That's rude.
Well, yeah. One of his neighbours, Colin Hart, whose family home actually backs onto the church, said, "This is disgusting that a man of the cloth should go around digging up bodies from the final resting place." And his wife said, "Whatever happened to rest in peace?"
It's quite right. And, this smacks of this whole, this new pope that's sort of knocking around, Pope Francis. I like the cut of his jib. He's a man, and yes, okay, he's Catholic, and this is about Baptist. But we all know that these churches are, regardless of their denomination, are adorned with all these stained glass windows and golden chalices, and all this sort of palaver. And he really hates all that, and he thinks it's really dodgy. So he only wears the basic papal robe.
I notice he's not giving it all away, though, is he? No, he is the Pope. Not. He could make that decision. He's the next man to God, apparently. He could say, let's give it all away to the poor people.
And
what, let's give it all away and get a cure to for cancer. Let's give it all away and cure the world of flu.
Clearly, he's he has to pay party politics as well. But I mean, I just think that these people are just—it flies in the face of anything, everything that this Bible, whether it's fiction or not, whether what it says that how you're supposed to live your life as a holy person, as a Christian, as a person of God, and even those in places of office. Should be heeding to it even more. And this just flies in the face of all of it. I think it's disgusting.
Well, it is. It's like the neighbours were saying, right? This originally started a year ago. And neighbours were saying that they were actually woken up by the sound of workmen and a JCB, which had arrived at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm not sure why they were doing it at 5 o'clock in the morning. Even for British builders, that's an early start. And they were actually removing 25 bodies from the ground. And they included women who were buried with the children. And then they started to build the house, right? And discovered more bodies. Which means that now they've had to start again. They've had to seek a special license to dig up yet more bodies. Well, I think, Mr. Dulson, I think really you need to look at your life and your clerical attitudes and your thoughts and your principles a bit more closely than is dear. Let's move on really quickly, Rachel, because it's a really interesting one from Australia. I'll let you take that away because it's so funny.
I love this story. It's okay. There's a beach up in the south, and it's called Maslin's Beach, and it's a nudist beach. And there's a fella been running around with an esky, and he's what do you call them eskies? You don't.
Yeah,
do you?
I know what to call them because because basically what they are is a big freezer box that like an Eskimo could move his family into, like an igloo.
Yeah, well, there's that, but there's little ones. You can get a little Eskimo.
That's for the little baby Eskimos.
Yeah, for the baby Eskimos. So you carry around as a handbag if you want to keep your keys cool.
Yeah.
But, there's a hole in one of these Eskies that this fella's been carrying around, and then all of a sudden everybody noticed a woman has walked past and saw that there's a video camera set up inside of it. So this pervert's gone to a nudist beach with a hidden camera. Now, my question is this. Why doesn't he set up his hidden camera in changing rooms like everybody else?
That's a very good point, isn't it? But it is pretty disgusting, isn't it?
It is, and there was a citizen's arrest. There was a citizen's arrest made of this fella, and one of a girlfriend of mine in Adelaide, one of her mates actually performed the citizen's arrest on this guy. I wouldn't want somebody crash tackling me with their meat and three veg. Three veg?
Well, that's the subject. There we go again.
That's a Chernobyl situation. Yes. So he's been nicked in the nick.
So, well, that's it. We've done it. We're at the end of the show. I think we should wish Uncle Eric Wiltshire the best of health, and we hope he's better next week. And everybody else, and we all hope that you all, everybody, all the millions of people who listen to this show, just have the world's greatest year ahead.
Yes, concur.
I concur.
I concur.
Do you? Right. Petra, do you have anything you would like to say to the world on this day?
Yeah, I'll be just short. I say Happy New Year to everybody.
I couldn't agree more. And that's it. So, say goodbye, Petra.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Rachel.
Goodbye, Rachel.
And I'll just carry on like Eric does now. I'll just keep talking for ages because what I've done is exactly what he's done. I've stolen the last few minutes of the show. So people will only hear me.
Play us some music.
That's the end of it. Goodbye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.